Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good afternoon. This Friday afternoon, the last day of this week. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler again today on Stand in the Gap Today. We welcome you to the broadcast at the end of this really fantastically busy week. And I hope that all of you are not just enjoying the week, but looking forward to the weekend. There's nothing wrong with that. We're glad that you are making your Friday with us a part of your schedule. And again, I just want to thank all of you who are listening for your listening and for communicating. And I encourage you to go to our website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and jot us a note about comments about this program. If there are certain specific things that you like, let us know. And if there are certain things that you don't like, which is very possible, let us know that too. Right, Dave? Because okay. We want to hear.
Well, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say, you know, if there are things you don't like, we don't want to hear that. But no, the fact of the matter is we do, and we need to hear those things. And so, yeah, give us your opinion on all of it. If you like it, tell us. If you don't like it, tell us. And we're trying to be as good at what we do as we possibly can, communicate as clearly and effectively as we possibly can.
Absolutely, Dave. You know, because I want all you folks to know who are listening, this program is just a little over 3 months old, so we don't have a long anniversary, but we're on a number of stations. That number of stations within the next couple of weeks may quadruple with the number of stations that are kind of becoming on board across the country. So those of you who are listening are a part of a pioneering group. And I want you to feel as special as we think and know you are, and invite you to encourage your friends. Notify them on Facebook. You know, send them emails. Tell them about the program, that if they come and they listen, that Lord willing, they will find out things that they probably don't know before, and they'll hear it from a biblical and constitutional perspective, which is what our goal is. So, Dave, you are now back home again in North Carolina. And I'm sure you've got a lot going on this weekend. Why don't we just share with the listeners what you're doing this weekend? I'll share what I'm going to do, and then we'll go into the events of the day, of which there are many, and we'll dive right into it. But what are you going to do this weekend?
Well, this evening, Gary, we've got Sam. Excuse me.
That's okay.
Creature,
Dave,
of habit. I apologize. But anyway, Sam, we have some friends coming over. Actually, our tour guide that went to that took us to Israel is coming over here, and his wife, and we're going to have just barbecue some steaks, grill some steaks, and just relax and chat a little bit about next year's trip and some other things. And then on Sunday, I'll be preaching at a local church, and then following that, my wife and I are going to slip off to the North Carolina coast for a couple of days just to relax and unwind and kind of recharge our batteries. And then after that, I'll be heading up to upstate New York to visit with our daughter and our son-in-law prior to heading to Altoona for the Central Pennsylvania Bible Conference. So that gives you a little bit of a layout, not just for the weekend, but for the several weeks that follow this weekend.
Well, that's Dave, you're busy, and I know. And so I just want to get give our listeners a chance to get an inside kind of view of your life and the kind of action and schedule that we keep. For me, I'm leaving just in a couple of hours after this broadcast. I'm going to be heading out to Iowa for a presidential candidate forum, which we're going to inform you more about towards the end of this program. But about a dozen of the candidates will be in this one setting. I'm looking forward to being there and rubbing shoulders with them and being able to see a little bit more face up, directly head on, some distinctives and differences between the candidates. And so we're going to talk about that at the end. But, Dave, let's jump right into the issues of the day. I think we cannot go on and ignore what is perhaps one of the leading things in the news this today, and that is the shooting in Chattanooga. I'm going to start this out by saying that for those who are aware, and I would assume everyone who's listening are aware of this, four Marines were shot, unarmed Marines were shot by an individual in Chattanooga. The response from the president yesterday was predictable. He really said not much. and said that we don't really know too much at this point. We know the man's name, but he termed him very clearly a lone gunman, but promised a serious investigation. Now, there's a lot of information that have come out since then. Dave, why don't you take a first stab at kind of laying out a little bit more about what this is, and then we're going to kind of go into some of the more unfolding information, and let us help to substantiate some of what is known as facts so that we can come up with a conclusion and perhaps help the president and others who have difficulty in understanding why these things happen.
Well, Sam, to be honest with you, whenever this came across the wire yesterday, I was very disturbed because I have dear friends in that area of Chattanooga, especially in the Hickson area. I have preached in that area for years and am very familiar with that stretch of highway called the Lee Highway, where one of the shootings took place, because there were actually shootings at two locations. And so anyway, when this came across the wire, I was deeply concerned. Thankfully, at this point, none of my friends and my contacts were injured or part of this, though they are somewhat indirectly linked to it. And maybe in a future date, if we're able to have one of them or both of them on, we can explain what I mean by that. But Sam, the bottom line is this. It was obvious to me early on that this was some type of terror attack. I mean, that is the assumption that has to be our default assumption. We have to go to that position when something like this happens automatically. And as it turns out, that is what this was. The gentleman's name is Mohammed Yosef Abdulaziz, which obviously is a Muslim name. And Sam, I was as stunned yesterday as you were, I'm sure, when the president said this was a lone gunman, the implication being he was acting alone. The media, many of them, are continuing to use this phrase, he was a lone wolf. Sam, I can almost guarantee, based on the information that we already have on what this man did and who he is and where he's from, this was not a lone wolf attack at all. This was done in conjunction with him being committed to the Islamic ideology and possibly to ISIS itself. This young man was born in 1990. He grew up in a Jordanian family. He was born in Kuwait. And Sam, just this morning, within probably the last 2 hours or less, there's information that's come across the wire that he spent 7 months in Jordan. Now, here is the question that's being asked, or the statement that's being made. Our U.S. authorities are delving into his 7 month stint in Jordan to see if he had contact with any extremists. You think? I mean, are you kidding me? 7 months he spent in Jordan, and you think he didn't have contact with radical extremists? Give me a break.
Dave, let me read from here to substantiate what you're saying. Here's another article that just came out, and just shortly. It said a federal law enforcement official said Friday, that's today, just came out, that authorities were continuing a search of this individual's computer, had not found an extensive online presence, and not uncovered any evidence to suggest that he was directly inspired by the Islamic State. Dave, hold what you're saying, what I'm saying. We'll come back with that. Folks, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr and David Kessler. We're glad you're with us. We're talking about the shooting in Chattanooga. We're going to come back and tie this thing together. So I think at the end of the day, you're going to know who this guy is, where he came from, and we can help the president understand that he was not a lone gunman. Stay with us. We will be right back right after these very, very important announcements. I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for
every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source. From the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler. We are glad that you're with us, and we're right in the middle of trying to pull apart and do a little bit of dissection here on the appearing difficulty that many are having, including our president and those in Washington, to figure out exactly what happened in Chattanooga. One of the other articles I just cut here just put this piece here in front of it as well. Then I'm going to go back to you, Dave, for some further comment from you. Not only did this Mohammed Yosef Abdul Al-Aziz, put it that way, 24, Kuwaiti-born individual, who was the shooter here, not only did he go to Jordan, it appears that he also, according to the FBI, traveled may have also visited Yemen at the same time. Well, Yemen is the hottest spot for the gathering of terrorists. And as you said, Dave, sources close to the investigation told the Journal authorities that they're trying to determine whether or not Abdulaziz had any contact with extremists during his seven-month stay, which is exactly what you said. Now, it has, but in the bottom of the article, they're saying they're trying to spend some time and trying to figure out exactly what weapon he used, because they weren't quite sure what name he was, and they're spending time on that too. Dave, I think it's far less critical that they figure out what weapon he used than where he was, what he believes, and perhaps what he even said, as some of that is suspect too, I guess a little bit of what he said, but share some more information. Let's help put this together of how we can, form a, I would say, an objectively deduced, profile of this individual.
Well, Sam, let me say this before I go any further. And I want to express my deepest sympathy to the families of those who lost loved ones. Sam, I love the military. If you cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. That'll always be the case. We're not a perfect country. Our military is not a perfect institution. But I love my nation and I love the military and everything that is a part of defending the liberties that have been given to us by God and are so wonderfully protected by our United States military men and women in uniform. So if you saw, Sam, what I did, and it was on CNN, they were a little less guarded in the video footage they showed. I don't know if it actually slipped past those that check these things and keep it off air or whether they deliberately did it or not. But, Sam, there was several images, video clips from overhead taken evidently from a helicopter looking down on the second location where actually the four Marines were killed. And it showed two young Marines, one lying almost directly on top of the other, both of them dead. There were men standing around them, evidently right after the shooting or very quickly after the shooting had occurred. And Sam, when I saw that, I'm just going to say it, there was a surge of anger that ran through me that here are young men. We're talking about not even in the prime of their life. They are young men in their 20s. I think it'll probably prove to be early to mid-20s. And they've been gunned down by an Islamic terrorist. And we have a president sitting in the White House. We have authorities, even those in the FBI, trying to decide if Islam and a jihadist mindset played any role whatsoever in this attack. It's absolutely absurd. The man's name was Mohammed Yosef Abdulaziz. His beard, Sam, is that of someone who is committed to the Islamic ideology. They have now found Facebook posts, blogs on the internet that reveal that he was committed to this ideology. There were two blogs specifically, one of them, I think right before the shooting or maybe within days of the shooting, where he said that there is going to be a hypothetical test that will, quote, separate the inhabitants of paradise from the inhabitants of hellfire. He went on and said, we ask Allah to give us a complete understanding of the message of Islam and the strength by this knowledge to know what role we need to play to establish Islam in the world. And Sam, that is vitally important. That is Islam's goal, global domination. So this young man is an adherent or was an adherent to this ideology. And so for those that are saying we're still trying to figure it out, Sam, it is beyond me. There's only one thing that could be driving that, and that is extreme political correctness, which we need to pitch out the window and do so immediately.
And Dave, thanks for that. That's great information. But, you know, I'm sure you're aware, but I think perhaps a lot of folks weren't aware. Yesterday, when the president commented and said, lone gunman, we've got this all under control, we're trying to figure things out. You know, that yesterday, the White House was celebrating a Muslim holiday. the same time that the Muslim terrorist was killing these Marines in Chattanooga. According to Breitbart News, the White House tweeted the following tweet right after the shooting. Right after the shooting, said, "From our family to yours, POTUS, President of the United States, to Muslims celebrating this Eid al-Fitr, whatever, I can't pronounce it, their holiday."
Yes, the conclusion of Ramadan is what it is. It's a fancy word or a very difficult word to pronounce, but it's a celebration of the conclusion of the holy month of Ramadan.
And the point there, yeah, thank you for that. And the point there is that it was being done in our White House. The White House activities led by our president and first lady were in our White House celebrating these things. They issued a statement from the president about the event that was there. Michelle and I would like to extend our warmest wishes to Muslims in the United States and around the world celebrating this holiday. And we're reminded that Ramadan is a time to reflect spiritually, build communally, and aid those in comfort. It goes on, and then he uses the same time to chastise Americans. As Muslim Americans celebrate Eid across America, the holiday, get this, is a reminder to every American of the importance of respecting those of all faiths, Muslim faith. Now, that same day yesterday, he chastised Major Garrett, as you've talked about earlier, when he asked him about leaving in our if the prisons of Iran, pastors and others who were not even a part of the negotiations, and the president was furious, boiling, seething that he was even threatened about that. Dave, do you think that there's ever even a remote possibility that part of the president's problem in being able to say this was a terrorist act that was conducted by a Muslim individual was because he perhaps is so concerned about holding ceremonies in the White House for these Muslim holidays?
Sam, let me say this. I have an opinion, and have had opinions since early on, what this president is, where his loyalties lie, where his allegiances lie, and they are not American allegiances, and they are certainly not Christian allegiances. Now, I know the president will say from time to time, "I'm a Christian." He'll talk about, his quote-unquote Christian faith. But the fact of the matter is this. Sam, I would love to know, is there one time in 6.5, approaching 7 years of this man's tenure in the White House where he has tweeted, or anyone has tweeted for him, any type of a support for a Christian holiday? Is there any of that? To my knowledge, I'm not saying that it's absolutely not out there, but to my knowledge, I don't recall ever seeing that. I don't recall ever hearing that. But Sam, it is incessant when it comes to these Muslim celebrations. The president takes to the airwaves. He takes his Saturday morning address to talk about the virtues of Islam, and it's just nonstop. So what does that say about this man's loyalties? What does it say about what he has the highest respect for? And Sam, it literally makes me angry that we have an American Christian pastor who has been incarcerated there over 3 years. He is no closer to being released. This administration has done nothing to help him of any substance. And yet the president, at the time that another Muslim is shooting people in Chattanooga, is praising and holding a ceremony to conclude the holy month of Ramadan in the White House. Sam, that is inexcusable.
Dave, I don't know how anyone can come to a conclusion other than that either. As we try to wrap up this little piece right here about this shooter, and other information is going to come out. But Dave, really, let me ask you, is it possible that with all of these connections, with the name, the beard, the comments, the trips to Jordan, the trips to Yemen, all of these things, is it possible that anyone can come to a conclusion other than this was an act of Islamic terrorism, whether or not it was officially an adjunct arm of ISIS or not, is really immaterial. It comes out of the ideology, though, does it not?
It does indeed, Sam. And the fact of the matter is this. This is now beginning to be reported as well. This young man attended Red Bank High School there in the Chattanooga area, a high school I'm very familiar with. He was on the wrestling team, and he had intense problems with his coach because he would fast at certain times, as the Muslims are required to do, and the coach was concerned that that fasting would keep him below his weight limit or his weight category, and hence he would not be able to wrestle. So, Sam, the history of this young man's life is a commitment to Islam. So those that are struggling to figure out, was there an Islamic component, Sam, there unequivocally was.
Dave, we're going to leave it right there. And, folks, we're going to come back on the other side of this break. We're going to pick up on some actions by ISIS in the Middle East. And then we're going to talk about a major, major piece of information, a warning that I think that if you haven't heard about, Rob, probably put you back in your seat. We're going to look at it from a both a physical and a spiritual perspective, how we deal with warnings. So you are listening to Staying in the Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler. We ask you to stay with us right after we're back after the Fox News and the other commercials.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. The president briefed on the shooting rampage in Tennessee, which left four Marines dead.
The president received a briefing yesterday, both from the director of the FBI, as well as his top counterterrorism advisor here at the White House, Lisa Monaco.
White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest just now. We're expecting an update in a few hours from authorities on gunman Mohammed Abdulaziz. This is a search for clues continues.
Abdulaziz has made several trips to the Middle East in recent years. One of those trips, a lengthy stay to Jordan. He's also been to Kuwait, and that it would be a logical next step for the FBI here in the United States and for intelligence agencies overseas to be looking into where he went during those trips, who he met with, to see if there's any ties to either radical Islam or terrorist groups.
Fox's John Roberts and the same jurors who decided that James Holmes was guilty in the Colorado theater's killing will decide his fate. Fox News, we report, you decide.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Bartolome de las Casas, the Apostle of the Indies, died this day, July 17, 1566. He was one of the first Christian missionaries known for his devotion to the oppressed and enslaved natives of Latin America. His work, Apologetic History of the Indies, published in 1530, exposed the oppression of the Indians in forced labor and influenced Madrid to enact new laws to protect them. Bartolome stated, "The main goal of divine providence in discovering these tribes is the conversion and well-being of souls, and to this goal everything temporal must necessarily be directed."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome to Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler. We're glad that you are staying with us. We are going to, right now, in the balance of the program, open this up for calls. This is Phone In Friday. We wanted to get some of this news in ahead of time here, but I'm going to give the numbers again. If you'd like to call these numbers. Local folks, call 610-539-8255. 610-539-8255. And for those who are out of the area, you'd like to call toll-free, 877-667-1180. That's 877-667-1180. Dave Kistler, before we go off with just where we were, let's come back with some solutions. There are some that are saying that there are some things that ought to be done. You referenced it earlier relative to the fact that in many cases, this gunman and what we had seen in the shooting case in Texas and so forth is really like shooting at fish in a fishbowl with unarmed military soldiers. Talk about that and any other suggestions you think that ought to be no-brainers, I think, from putting into effect.
Well, Sam, thank you. I'd be glad to do that. Let me just say this. In 2009, when the shooting took place at Fort Hood, I happened to be conducting a crusade in that area about 45 miles from Fort Hood. I was able to go down, not there when the shooting happened or not right after it happened, but a couple of days later, able to make it down for the memorial service that was held there. The president came down and spoke and so on. It was a highly insightful time, Sam, to be there and to interact, to be able to interview numbers of men and women in uniform about that shooting. Sam, what was so tragic about that has been duplicated yesterday with the shooting in Chattanooga, is the fact that the shooting at Fort Hood took place in a processing center. It's a place where soldiers are processed out when they leave the country and are deployed, and then they're processed back in when they return from a deployment. That processing center was a gun-free zone. That is, those, Sam, that are trained to shoot the most sophisticated weaponry that we have in our arsenal are not allowed to carry a gun in a processing center on a military base. Now, Sam, forgive me, that's absolute insanity. As our friend Russ says, he said that's institutionalized insanity. And that's what that is. So what I'm saying is this. To correct this problem that happened yesterday, we're going to have to allow our men and women that we trust to wear the military uniform, that we trust to defend and protect us, we're going to have to trust them to carry a weapon on a military installation. And I believe at least one person should be armed at these recruiting centers, at least one. So this gun-free zone stuff is going to have to stop. All that is, and there was a sign on the door in Chattanooga, gun-free zone, that is an invitation for any lunatic, whether he be committed to Islamic ideology or not, to perpetrate some horrific act if they know there is no weapon on the premises. Second thing, Sam, we need to do is this. If we can listen to the FBI and all the security apparatus, and I've heard it multiple times since yesterday. They said, we are looking into this young man's background, talking about Abdulaziz. We're looking into his background. We're turning over every leaf. And I've heard that phrase repeatedly. We're turning over every leaf. Sam, if we can turn over every leaf after the fact, then why can't we turn over a significant portion of the leaves before the fact? And what I mean by that is this. There has to be some form of profiling. There has to be. We're going to have to start looking into the backgrounds of these people before these attacks take place and ensure that four of our best and brightest do not have their lives ended well ahead of when their life should come to an end. So, Sam, profiling, arming those on the military bases, those are just two simple things that I think need to be done immediately.
Now, Dave, I want to mention one thing. We have a caller on the line from Arkansas listening by Internet, and which I think our audience is quite large that way. I'm going to go to him in just 1 second. Just hold that. But, Dave, you know, there are many who would say that, well, you know, the military guys shouldn't be carrying weapons, armed weapons, because of a law that many folks don't even know of called Posse Comitatus. It says that the military should not be on our soil armed. And so, therefore, They should not be armed on these bases. However, you made a distinction. These are military bases. You're not saying walking around the streets of America, but at the same time, we have underway right now in America a thing called Jade Helmet. They are practicing, the military is practicing with live weapons on private soil. So do we have a bit of a hypocritical position here, Dave?
Sam, we have the consummate example of a hypocritical situation. And by the way, if I could remind our listeners of what took place back in the mid-90s down in Waco, Texas at the Branch Davidian compound. I mean, my wife is from Waco. I have friends down there. There was military hardware. There was military weaponry on private soil, citizens, private citizens' property down there. And, of course, not much was said about that from the governmental side. So, Sam, this I'm not advocating, as is the case in Israel. By the way, while we were in Israel, Sam, you saw young 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young people that are part of the Israeli military. They all carried machine guns, and they conducted themselves in a stellar manner. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating that, but I am advocating this. On our military bases that are a target right now for ISIS and other Islamic terrorist entities, our men and women in uniform on those military bases need to be able to carry a weapon, and we need to begin looking into the backgrounds of these people whose names are Islamic, who have indicators in their Facebook and in their cyber world that indicate they're Islamic. We need to do some of this leaf overturning beforehand, not after the fact.
Dr. Jim, we're going to go to you in Arkansas now, our caller on our line. If you could, please give your question or comment. Glad to have you.
Yeah, thank you, Sam. Listen, the program is great today. I appreciate both you and Dave, what you're talking about. I got to thinking about this very thing here in Arkansas, and I'm teaching an American history class at the Wellness Center every Monday for the next 6 weeks, and I was reading through the Declaration of Independence, and I came across a phrase that went, a long train of abuses and usurpations. It would seem to me as though that what we have here that happened yesterday is part of a long train of a series of dots. In other words, when you connect the dots, it's absolutely, we can be assured that this guy was a terrorist, and I don't want to say any more. I just want to say I agree with you and Dave and what you're saying. I appreciate it. And if we can't connect the dots, or better still, if I can connect the dots, why can't Barack Obama and our government? Back to you, sir, and I'll let you continue. Just wanted to get my 2 cents worth in.
Excellent. Well, thank you for taking the time to call, Jim. Dave, I don't know if you have any comments to that or not, but I appreciate what Jim said there in our conclusions and as we're talking about this.
Sam, can I say this very quickly?
Yes,
yeah, yeah, let me just say this, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but what Jim said is a reasoned and logical response as a result of observing information that we have shared today about the background of this gentleman, the things that he has posted on Facebook, et cetera, et cetera. What Jim said is a logical, reasoned response to that. The question Jim is asking is one that I think a lot of Americans are asking. If an intelligent man like Jim can come to the right conclusion, why can our president not do so? What gives here? So, I know we need to move on to something else, but what he's saying is a logical and reasoned result of looking at the facts, coming to a great conclusion.
And, Dave, I'm going to use this as a transition into our final thought as we go here at this point. And that is that what people are wanting is clear thinking and an expression of objective thought. Jim just did that when he called. We're trying to do that here. Let me move into presidential candidates now. One of the candidates I have heard already, Donald Trump, I heard him last night when he was interviewed, himself said that absolutely agreeing with what you just said, Dave, that at the very least, our military on our military bases needed to be armed. Absolutely ludicrous. But, you know, Donald Trump is also going up in the polls and is leading right now to a large degree because people are saying, I like what you're saying. Dave, there is something very important about speaking the truth and just plainly laying it right out there, is it not?
Sam, there is. And again, this is not, and I know your statement was not meant in any ways an endorsement of Donald Trump or an approval of everything he has done or said, nor is what I'm about to say. However, what Donald Trump is doing, and this is the reason, Sam, I talk to people, so do you, out in the general populace. The reason people like Donald Trump is that he speaks unsanitized truth. He communicates unsanitized truth. He just tells it like it is. And people are tired of this political correctness. They're tired of a president tying himself into a pretzel to avoid admitting what is obvious to everyone else, and that is that Islamic terrorism is the problem. So Donald Trump's going to continue to go up as long as he speaks unsanitized truth.
And Dave, you are correct. We're not endorsing Donald Trump. We use this as a point of saying that leadership requires clear thinking, clear speaking, and telling the truth as it is. We're going to talk about a presidential candidate forum coming up in Iowa tomorrow after we come back from the break. I'll be at that event. We're going to tell you how you can go there and be aware of it as we talk about the importance of this straightforward talking. This is Sam Rohr and David Kistler and Stand in the Gap Today. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Dishonest money dwindles away, but he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? Have you ever said, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, I don't need a thing? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage the wealth and efficiently pass it on to the children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gere with today's Family Update. Candidates and politicians are fond of saying that our children are our future, only to then proceed to saddle them with unimaginable debt, thanks to out-of-control spending and massive government waste. I wish I had an instant solution for that, but I don't. But here at Pennsylvania Family Institute, we take seriously our commitment to the next generation, and one way we show it is with our City on the Hill Youth Leadership and Worldview Camp, held the last full week of July each summer. It's a life-changing week that helps teens discover and guide their God-given leadership skills for their own good and for the benefit of others. This year, we've got our best lineup of speakers ever, and we still have space for a few more high school teens to come. So don't let your high schooler miss it. For details, go to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1. That's 1-800-FAMILY-1.
In anticipation of troubled times, the Apostle Paul instructed Timothy to be courageous, bold, and unswerving in his belief of God. He said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you listen to the news of the day, you may well be fearful of all types of things, known and unknown. But God has given us the victorious power, His Holy Spirit to communicate the truth, and the spirit of confidence and faith. We should not sit back nor cower. Instead, we must press on for the truth. We must declare our relationship with Jesus Christ and the transforming power of the gospel. As Paul said, because of what God has done for us, don't be ashamed of being called a Christian. Wear the name of Christian with humility, grace, and power. I'm Sam Rohr saying, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let us stand for Christ and with Christ no matter the cost.
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back. This is Sam Rohr, and again with David Kistler, as we wind up this program here on this final, this Friday of this week. We have a lot of stuff to go over yet in the last 10 minutes, so stay with us. Just before the break, I mentioned the presidential candidate forum coming up in tomorrow. I want to inform you, our listeners, about it. You're probably not aware, but I think it's something that you would want to be aware. And this is it. And then, with David, you and I can talk about some of the candidates more specifically. But, folks, tomorrow in Iowa, which is the first caucus state, as we're all aware, being held at Iowa State University and sponsored by the family leader will be what is called a Leadership Summit 2015. It's going to be held in here in Ames, Iowa. At this event, which is being put together for the purpose of bringing together as many of the presidential candidates as will come, an opportunity to be in a setting that is not a formal debate, but is more of a they're going to have a chance to speak a little bit, and then the researcher Frank Luntz is going to be doing some interviewing. There's going to be panels of three or four candidates at a time, and really the purpose of this is to find out who are these people, what do they believe, what do they say they believe, why do they believe what they say they believe, what do they say they're going to do, why do they say. Why are they going to do what they say they're going to do? Now, here's the candidates at this juncture that are confirmed. Some may come, still not listed here, but they will include Ben Carson and Ted Cruz, Lindsey Graham, Mike Huckabee, Bobby Jindal, Marco Rubio, Governor Rick Perry, Rick Santorum, Donald Trump, Governor Scott Walker. And then there will be other individuals that will be there, including Frank Gaffney and Gary Bauer, Tony Perkins, and Bob Vanderplatz, who leads that organization. There, they will all be participating, but this event is going to be a 10 to 6 event. You can listen to it, and you can watch it. It'll be the first of its type. Again, it's not a debate, but you're going to see, I think, some very, very good things. It'll be my privilege to be there at that event. This is where you need to go. If you want to watch this tomorrow and live stream it, go to the Family Leadership Summit. Spelled out all one word, the Family Leader, the Family Leadership Summit.org. Okay? The Family Leadership.org. And there you will be able to watch it live streamed. C-SPAN, I believe, is going to be broadcasting it live. As well as the Des Moines Register. So I think this is going to be a fairly interesting event, and I plan to giving Dave, you, we can, and Gary's back with us on Monday. We'll give an update more prospectively about that, as I'm going to be able to interface with a number of the candidates up close, but we're concerned about who and what they are. Dave, if you were asking some of the questions as a part of an event like this, what kind of things would you really want to find out, and what would be good to know about these candidates that are not something that's just out there in the normal press?
Well, you know, Sam, to be quite honest with you, I envy you being a part of that, but you are the one that God is allowing to go out there, and I praise God that you're going to be able to go. In addition to the candidates, one of the gentlemen that you mentioned that I highly respect is Frank Gaffney with the Center for Security Policy. What an incredible gentleman he is. He's a former Reagan administration official, and so it's going to be a great day. Sam, if I were there, I would ask, in light of the conversation we have had already today, I would ask this question: what are you going to do about America's number one external threat, now becoming an internal threat, and that is Islamic extremist ideology? What are you going to do about that? Sam, this may be foreign policy, and this specific issue, ISIS and all the things that are related to it, may be the number one external, now becoming an internal threat within the borders of the United States of America. It may be the number one threat we face as we approach the 2016 elections. Obviously, I would ask questions about morality. I would ask questions about constitutionality, where they stand. Are they a strict interpreter of the Constitution? Do they believe the Constitution is a static or a fluid document? There's all kinds of things I would ask. I would be interested to know some personal things as well. But Sam, in light of what's going on in our nation right now, in light of this brewing threat, honestly, I would love to know where every one of these candidates stand on the emerging and growing Islamic terror threat.
And Dave, I think those are great things. To the extent that I have any input, I'm going to pass some of that along if they're not, in fact, covered. And I will do that even when we get off the air, because I agree with you fully. The foreign leadership, and let me ask you a question, let's see what you're thinking on this. Now, many of these individuals have no experience in international relations. They have no experience, really, on foreign relations. Does that, in your opinion, disqualify any candidate who can't step up and say he has some international relation experience?
You know, Sam, it does not. And let me tell you why. Ronald Reagan, though he was governor of California, and California, if it were a nation back in those days, would have been one of, I think, the eighth largest nation on the planet. He had really no foreign policy experience. But what he did have, Sam, was core beliefs. And foreign policy, perhaps like no other policy, is driven by what a person believes in their very core. What do you believe about the nation of Israel? Do you believe Israel should be the friend of the United States and should be unequivocally supported? Those core principles drive a person's foreign policy. So no, just because they don't have any quote-unquote experience in foreign policy would not, in my estimation, necessarily eliminate them from my consideration. We have a president in the White House, Sam, that has no foreign policy experience. He has a lack of experience in a lot of areas, and that is showing. But we've had presidents in the past that didn't have a history of foreign policy experience that did a good job, and Reagan was certainly one of them.
Well, I think what you're talking about, David, I agree with you. What one believes in their heart, your ideology. Our president is very ideological. Muslims are very ideological. So are Marxists. So are humanists. So are and should be practicing Christians and constitutionalists. It all comes down to a matter of ideology, because out of that, you can actually pretty accurately predict the actions of someone. Can you not? I mean, if I know that you, for instance, do not hold to a moral code and you do not fear God and think that you are God yourself, I think I can pretty well predict what you will think and do, and I probably will avoid hanging too close to you. But if you actually believe that there is a God and there is a moral code, and you've said, I will discipline myself, things are right and some things are wrong, and I'll tell you what those are, and my life will demonstrate that, then I'm saying I'd like to hang around that guy. I mean, that's part of what a forum should be, and what we should know about these candidates.
Absolutely, Sam. What you have said, Sam, is the most important thing said on the program today. A moral compass is what is absolutely essential for anything that a candidate does, says, or is if they're going to be a leader in the free world.
Okay, thanks for being with us today, folks. If you want to see what live stream that event tomorrow, go to thefamilyleadershipsummit.org, thefamilyleadershipsummit.org, and you'll be able to pick up and watch this whole forum live stream tomorrow. I think it'll be a good thing. Well, for David Kistler and Sam Rohr, on behalf of Stand in the Gap Today, we thank you for being with us this day, and we pray that God will bless you this weekend. Stand up and stand in the gap for truth.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.